98.7 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Friday as get ready to go into the pre-Mardi Gras weekend. And it looks like Sunday looks pretty good weather-wise. And actually, it doesn't look like it's a problem for parades tonight. Order of Incas should be fine. They're fine. They're aware of their situation. It looks pretty good for Order of Incas tonight. Tomorrow, with a big bunch of parades going on tomorrow, it looks like from what Dr. Bill said to us last hour, looks like it holds together pretty nicely until late. I guess the latest parade tomorrow is Crew of Merry Mates. They roll at 7:30, so starts off. You've got the Mystic Mutts Parade. We talked to the folks from the Haven about the Mystic Mutts Parade. That tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Then you got Mobile Mystics at 2. So the Fairhope Parade is Mystic Mutts. Then Mobile for Mobile Mystics. And then Mobile Mystical Revelers Parade following at 2:30. The Moms, what's up, Moms? Maids of Mirth roll 6:30 tomorrow evening. 6:45, Knights of Ecor Rouge and Fairhope. Then Order of Butterfly Maidens, 7 p.m. in Mobile. Then 7:30, Crew of Merry Mates. So Dr. Bill was saying in his timeline that it looked like it was more of a later in the evening into the wee hours kind of thing for this what he says, a significant line of storms coming through into Sunday. Sunday looks a lot better, and so it'll be good. The weather looks good for Sunday. You got parade Sunday night as well.
Yeah, the weekend weather scale coming in at a 1.7810 from Dr. Bill today, so you can't hate that on a Mardi Gras weekend.
No, and he said it sounds like it's really made up for. Sunday's going to be nice enough. It's going to make up for tomorrow. So, all right, we'll take some calls as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Yes, more people calling in about that accident. This area, and thank you for the text. We always appreciate getting those texts at 343-0106. Shane, like many others have said, hard to believe, but that accident eastbound between on I-10 between Rangeline and 65. Mm-hmm. What if we did a mapping thing? It's got to be a GIS program for this, to map the interstate system around here and then show the number of wrecks in certain sections. I'm sure it's out there already by color coding it, you know, like purple is the highest density of wrecks, green's the lowest density or something, and you
a code purple whenever you're traveling through I-10 right there. Or
but like certain zones, right? Certain zones would have the highest, because just from what we do and watching this each morning and each afternoon, we all think about the Bayway and all that, and sure, that's an issue. It was an issue as I was going over to Robertsdale Power Equipment yesterday. Another accident on the Bayway, but
that section yesterday.
Yes, but the section, but I don't think it gets the appreciation it should. The section from Rangeline to the 65 interchange on I-10 eastbound gets a lot of trouble. All right, and I also want to get into we'll talk some gas tax here in just a second and some national stories, but this from my phone, from one of our friends in common, sent me this text, and this may be the hardest hitting story of the day.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk some gas tax, we're going to talk some national politics, but our buddy said, my sister is taking my nieces and nephew to Pensacon this weekend.
Pensacon.
Yeah, this is this.
The comic?
Comic book dress up.
Convention.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So she's been keeping up with issues going on. She told me yesterday the trouble is being caused by the bronies.
No.
You remember we talked bronies the first time, what, 4 or 5 years ago? On this
Yeah, show? We were talking about bronies before they were popular.
Bronies are, to those of you that have not followed this, and you know what, count yourself lucky. I wish I hadn't known about it either. These are grown men.
Yes.
Grown men.
Grown men.
That are into My Little Pony.
Physically grown men. Not.
Yes, yeah, not mentally. Like My Little Pony, like the cartoon and the toy thing. And these are grown men that are into My Little Pony. And they travel to different conventions to...
They're like furries, right?
See, a furry is these people, they dress up in mascot costumes and do some different things. Some of them take it to different levels. Some just dress up in the costumes, but those are the furries. It is a lot... If you, God forbid, Google bronies, B-R-O-N-I-E-S.
Yes. The Google images.
These are grown men that are into My Little Pony. And I guess they're coming to Pensacon.
Nothing sacred anymore.
That's right. Can people not just go have their comic book fun over at Pensacon and not have to deal with the drama that's brought by the bronies?
Yeah, I think the bronies have their own convention. They should stay. You said you wanted a heat map of where the wrecks are. Can we keep tabs on the bronies?
Is there any density? Is there somebody else out in GIS? I know there's some folks probably listening to the show that work in GIS technology. Can y'all map density of bronies in these United States for us?
I need to get inside one of these guys' heads.
Or suit.
I don't want to be in the suit, but I'm going to try to book an interview for Midday Mobile, maybe. If we can find a brony that is brave enough to come on the air and tell us his story, we need to do that.
Okay.
If you're brave enough to talk to him.
Yes. As long as he knows nay means nay. But no, if you can get a certified brony. We have to have no posers.
So,
right, no posers, nobody pretending to be a brony. I want to know that they're a card carrying member of the bronies, which are grown men that are into My Little Pony that seem to be descending on Pensacon and causing some issues. If we could have one of those call in and we could document that it's them, or they can come by. They could bring their costume, bring their My Little Pony collection or whatever, so I can verify that's a thing. I would love to know how they arrived at where they are today.
Yeah, I'm putting together an anti-brony protest for Pensacon. That's what I need to get started.
All right, if y'all want to put that together, then Dalton's going to be the lead on that. So we'll talk some. I see the text lines filling up. We'll get to those texts here during the break. And also this story about, it's from Dale Jackson wrote it for Yellowhammer News. Dale does a talk show up in Huntsville on WVNN. Seems like Dale is putting into words what I've heard from y'all when it comes to the gas tax and infrastructure. He writes this. He said, the way the potential gas tax increase is talked about in Alabama, even on conservative talk radio, it appears that higher tax is almost inevitable. This seems to be the conventional wisdom of politicians and media outlets. But if recent events in American politics have taught us anything, it is that conventional wisdom might be overrated. Said new polling conducted by the Alabama Forestry Association brings a couple of interesting tidbits into the conversation. Number one, Alabamians are generally pleased with their roads.
Really?
Okay, so here it is. They gave them a choice from 1 to 5. So excellent. Number one means the roads are excellent. Number five means you're unsure or refuse to answer. So 1.16% said the roads in Alabama are excellent. 20.33% said the roads in Alabama are good. Fair, 51.57% said they were fair. 25.95% said they were poor.
Hmm.
Now, fair is one of those words that's kind of funny because it depends. I think it's open for interpretation. If the dinner was fair, it's fair.
Yeah, you're not paying big bucks for it.
To me, that's on the negative side of the median. Right? That's fair to me is on the negative side. If you look at it as positive, maybe that's something different.
To me, fair seems like, I travel these roads every day. My car hasn't fallen apart, but I don't like riding on them.
So fair, I want to hear from y'all what you think. Basically, what he's showing here is, at least according to this Alabama Forestry Association poll, and I don't know how many people were in the poll, but if you take fair and good, like 74% of Alabamians are satisfied with our roadways. Are y'all? Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Friday style, Sean and Dalton. Dr. Bill's got a forecast coming up in just a little bit, plus Kane with a traffic update. And of course, you can always hit us up on the text line with traffic updates, 343-0106, and your phone calls, 343-0106. A segment of the show brought to you by C Spire. The C Spire tech movement is taking over the region because the Southeast and Mid-South can't compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So C Spire is investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP Computer Science. kids. So CSPIRE is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. They also set up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is the foundation for economic development, CSPIRE is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. Futures out there, and the CSPIRE Tech Movement is leading the way. Join that movement at cspire.com/tech movement. Also, I got a note here. This is very good. We were mentioning earlier, and you can go through our Facebook page and the Twitter feed, or we can directly, as they would say, give you the website for Family of the Fallen. I think it's Family. If I have it right here, it's familyofthefallen.org. So family, and then of, T-H-E-F-A-L-L-E-N.org, familyofthefallen.org. We've been talking about them this week, a local 501c3 charity that is doing something, they do several events during the year to help out these families. These are the families of members of law enforcement that have been killed or severely injured in the line of duty in our area. Okay, it's a group of law enforcement folks running this. It is a 100% charity. In other words, full volunteer staff. Nobody's getting a paycheck. All the money's going directly to these families. 501c charitable organization. And the thing they're doing right now is cool. They started working on this last year, doing this float. It's called the Fallen Float Project. And they said here, one of the outlets of support we are providing based on the tradition of our historic Mardi Gras, we conduct events during Mardi Gras Festival, culminating in a float ride during the day parade for children and the surviving spouse, partner, and parents of the fallen officer. This fun-filled event allows for the families to interact with the Mardi Gras participants and engage them in a positive experience. Our hope is to allow, even if for a short time, a fun and festive activity for these families, so they know the community remains grateful to them and for the officer's ultimate sacrifice. So, and there, this year, 27 family members. So, 9 fallen officers and 3 of their family members each. So, 27 on the float. The float is, they've got the float. It's been donated. They've got the float, which actually worked out for this because the Mystic organization that did the donation had a theme, I guess, last year with law enforcement, so it says police officer on it, so it works. They got that float. So what we're doing right now is making sure they have more throws than they can throw, okay? There's a couple different ways for you to help out, but the idea here, the net effect is these family members will get on the float on week from Saturday, March 2nd, and they are, okay, they lead the floral parade. It'll be the first float in the floral parade on March 2nd. And the throws, we are going to provide for them. And I know y'all have been stepping up in a big way in the last 24 hours. I have a feeling we'll be have this float filled up by the end of the day today because y'all are awesome like that. But if not, I also got a note here from the Wild Malvillians.
Okay.
Of course, you see them marching on Joe Kane Day, and they have an event coming up on Sunday. And they said here, let's see. So the Wild Malvillians are collecting these throws at their family party at Callahan's Irish Social Club Saturday from 5 to 6. They said here, the Malvillians will also collect from the public if they can drop off at Callahan's from 5 to 6. So I'm going to talk more about where you can drop off, but if Callahan's on Sunday works for you, you can bring your throws to Callahan's, and then the Wild Malvillians will take them to Mobile Police Headquarters on Monday.
Okay. What an outstanding idea. And you also said Gulf Coast Beads.
Yeah, I'm going to get back this through. So once again, 5 to 6 on Sunday at Callahan's, 5 to 6, is another drop-off point.
Okay.
Okay, so, and then let's back it up. So the Wild Malvillians will collect from 5 to 6 since they're having their family party. That's on Sunday. And then they'll take those throws to police headquarters. Then, if you would like to drop a cash, check, money order, whatever, a non-bead cup moon pie donation, if you want to bring a donation, monetary donation, you can do that at Mobile Police Headquarters right across from Whataburger, mm-hmm. or Precinct 2 and Precinct 4. Okay, so that's Precinct 2, Precinct 4, and headquarters are expecting you to come in. They know what you're talking about. If you come in and said, hey, I want to make a donation for the Family of the Fallen Float Project, so you can do that. Or you can go, and if you already have some throws or you want to buy beads and cups and stuffed animals and moon pies and all that kind of stuff, you can actually drop those physical throws off as well at headquarters or Precinct 2 and Precinct 4. Or like we talked about earlier, you were mentioning at Gulf Coast Beads, Chuck McKay said, if you're in there, if you'll say, hey, I'd like to buy some throws for this Family of the Fallen float project, he'll know what you're talking about. He'll have the people there know what you're talking about. You can make the purchase. He said that purchase, your money will go at his cost. So even more throws. And then he'll put it aside, and the people from the charity are going to come over and pick them up to take it to the float. So you can drop off money. You can drop off actual throws at Precinct 2, Precinct 4, and Police Headquarters for MPD, Mobile Police Department. You can also do your donation through Gulf Coast Beads when you're there by buying the throws and holding them back for that group. Or like I got this note here, the Wild Malvillians, they've got one of their week out from Joe Kane Day. They're pre-partying on Sunday, and they're going to be at Callahan's Irish Social Club from 5 to 6. And not only are they collecting within their group, they're also going to take from everybody else. If you want to stop by, drop off your donations, the Wild Malvillians will take those to headquarters.
What a cool fundraiser. This has to be, if not the first, one of the first of its kind.
I love how we do stuff differently here.
Yeah, rest,
you know, if it's made national news cycle, they're doing what? They're collecting moon pies and cups and
what are throws?
And throws to give to family. I think it's cool. And once again, y'all check out the website, see what this group is doing for these families year round here. And this is a way to continue to show your support and your love for these families that have given so much for us. All right, 827 FM Talk 106.5. I mentioned the gas tax thing, and I just thought this was it was interesting. Now, this is to put in context, which we always like to do. Maybe it doesn't get done as much as it should, but this is polling conducted by the Alabama Forestry Association, okay? Which actually, this group, Alabama Forestry Association, does a good bit of polling. If you remember, if you hit the time machine, they were the ones that had Roy Moore showing better name recognition well before the special election went through in December than any other group. They mm-hmm. they do a lot of polling, looking for political issues for the state. Now, this one may be of bigger interest to the Alabama Forestry Association because what you pay for fuel, what you pay for gasoline is a big deal when you're hauling logs, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this one may have a little bit of a monetary angle to it, but they surveyed Alabamians, and number one, the takeaway I saw, number one was if you conclude fair as, if saying that our roads are fair, if that means that's positive, you add that to good and excellent, what is that? That's 72-73% of Alabamians are pleased with the roadways. That surprises me. The next question they asked, do you agree or disagree that the state of Alabama needs to spend more money for roads and bridges? Number one, strongly agree. Now, if you feel the roads are fine, but then they say we should, 49, almost 50% of respondents said they strongly agree that money should be spent. 37.19% said somewhat agree. Somewhat disagree was 4.3%. So that really seems contrary. And then the question here is basically Alabamians want money spent on the road. They just don't want to come up with the money.
That makes sense to me.
Because they asked this question too in the poll. Which of the following best represents how much of a fuel tax increase you are willing to support?
Okay.
All right. So the 3 cents a gallon received 55.64% of the responses, of the votes. 6 cents per gallon, 22.55%. 10 cents per gallon, 11.64. You get a theme here as the tax is going up. 15 cents per gallon, 2.55%. Respondents said, yeah, that's good. And 20 cents per gallon, 6.145% said yes, although there were 6% that say they were unsure or otherwise refused to answer the poll.
You know, that's kind of, you know, just asking your average Joe, and me being an average Joe in this situation. I know you've talked to a lot of people about the gas tax, and we've seen some numbers, but you just ask someone how much they're willing to pay. I'm willing to pay how much it costs to do it for the cheapest price. Like, how much is it going to cost to fix the roads without mm-hmm. me overpaying in taxes and that ending up in some other budget somewhere else? So,
but see, the problem is you're not going to have, well, one of the problems is you don't have the issue of money moving to other budgets because of the amount of earmarking that goes on in Montgomery, even though ALDOT is giving a bunch of money for ALEA for the state troopers because they've determined that applies because it's road safety. But the way I understand any of these proposed versions of the gas tax here, they would all go to physical things and road work. In other words, there wouldn't be any new jobs, new buildings. It all basically, when I talked to these folks, they said it'll be asphalt, dirt, diesel, shovels, those kind of things, mm-hmm. what the increase will go to. So we'll see how much people want to support this, because it's going to be one of the big items coming up in session that gets started March 5th up in Montgomery. Talk about this and take your calls when we get back. Y'all stay close.
.37 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Friday, foggy Friday at that. Right now it's time to check in at McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Let's talk about some trucks this morning. I know you guys have some great deals out on the lot at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, Dalton, a whole lot of truck buyers out there listening, I think. And what I want people to do is just, a lot of people are visual. I think I am. You probably are. But go to my website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and Dalton, what they're going to see is the new 2019 truck with that fancy six-function tailgate and the AT4 version, a lot of cool stuff. But they're also going to see the last remaining blowout deals on the 2018s. And I'm talking about things like $12,000 off the sticker price. And if somebody's shopping a 2017 used truck, Dalton, they're actually going to find a price on our brand-new McConnell trucks that match a used car price. So I don't want people to miss out on it. All they have to do is check out the website. And, man, I'm telling you, if you're buying a Ford, stop. Don't buy one. And even the Chevy is great, but it doesn't have that tailgate. So we've got the best trucks anywhere around, Dalton. And nobody's going to beat our real price. Don't be fooled by big discounts. Dealers don't give you at our prices. We always honor them.
All right. That's some good stuff. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
You too. That's Mitch McConnell. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see them in person at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38. I'll grab some more calls and text at 343-0106. A lot of text we went through there during the break, looking at, but one of several that stood out, but this one I have to get to.
Okay.
Because it was a story we started the hour with. Because the Pensacon story, going on, and we have our news partners at WKRG talking about some issues going on with Pensacon and mm-hmm. people threats and people worried about it. Then a buddy of ours in common sent us a text who said it was all about the bronies.
Yeah, the My Little Pony bros.
My sister's taking my nieces and nephew to Pensacon this weekend, so she's been keeping up with the issues. She told me yesterday that a lot of the trouble was being caused by the bronies. Okay, the bronies, but for the last 4 or 5 years, we've known about these people. These are grown men that are into My Little Pony. If you dare, Google this. Then I get a text here from Sarah who says, this is ripped from today's headlines, I dated a brony.
No.
And didn't know it for years. He kept it a secret like most guys keep their dirty magazine a secret. It's not the reason that we broke up, but I would be lying if I didn't say that it helped with the decision.
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, next week, hopefully, we'll get Sarah and maybe some other people, and we'll do a 2-hour show about what it was like to deal
I'm assuming Sarah's from our area, our mm-hmm. general area, and I'm also assuming that she dated this guy in this area, so
could be one of these local bronies.
They live among us.
Okay. Let's go to my buddy Walt in Somerdale. Hey, man.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good. That's a heck of a transition to go from bronies into your call. I'm sorry about that. Okay.
I'm going to use ITN, the Bayway, and the tunnel and everything as an example.
Okay.
Now, as far as the physical condition of those roads, I'm going to say they're excellent. Yeah, there's a bump here, too, but the physical condition of the road is excellent. But when you consider the traffic part of it, then the road turns into a 5.
Okay.
So I think that might have been what some of the people were talking about.
Well, that's interesting. You know, and all I'm thinking about right now is, you know, pavement, potholes, those kind of things. But you're right. If you say, what is the condition of the roadway? Some may interpret that as the roadway is so busy I can't get down it, so it's bad. And that would be part of the infrastructure, adding more lanes, those kind of things. Well,
yeah, of course. I mean, and that's what the whole, you know, this whole project, the whatever they're going to call this thing in Mobile, the malfunction junction that they're going to build.
Oh, the bridge?
But, you know, it's like, if, like I said, you know, you take the physical condition of the road, and it's pretty damn good. You know, it's a pretty smooth ride from the Bayway, I mean, from California to Florida, is a pretty decent ride. So the physical condition of the road is good, but it's the traffic is horrendous, you know, especially on the 4th of July weekend, you know.
Right, but there's also then you get off the interstates, and there's a bunch of surface roads that are both heavily trafficked and, you know, are patched together here and there if they have been patched, or they have a big pothole in them. You know, with a rainy winter like this, it opens up a lot of potholes. That they probably have both problems. They're busy and they're physically bumpy, for lack of a technical term.
Well, some people call them religious roads. They're mighty holy.
Walt, I appreciate the call, man. So, yeah, I mean, that may be a point, too. Walt shining some light there that maybe more of, you know, this road physically is fine. It's smooth. I can drive on it, but I need more lanes. Listen, that might be one of the splits, too. With this gas tax, I told y'all that, and you hear Dale Jackson saying the same thing. Sounds like it's a foregone conclusion in Montgomery that they're going forward with this. But the part of it that I think will be, well, the two parts. Number one, how many cents on a gallon will it be? And then beyond that, who gets what? Because, y'all, there's where the sausage making is going to happen. Because a big municipality, big county, like a Baldwin County, a Mobile County, Jefferson County, Shelby County, Madison County, Montgomery County, those places, Lee County, will say, hey, there's more gas sold here in our area that's taxed. Therefore, there are more people driving because they wouldn't be buying gas here if they're not driving here. So we need to get a commensurate percentage of the revenue. In other words, we need to have as much as our area has taken in, that needs to come back from ALDOT to projects right here. Then you'll have the other counties say, oh, wait a second. We have projects that are very, very important. And listen, if you've driven some of the back roads around the state of Alabama, you know that ain't low lie. There are some places, you know.
Bad.
Washington County is just where I spend a lot of time, and I can tell you there's some pretty good holy roads there, as Walt was talking about.
Dallas County has some rough patches.
Marengo, Hale, and I know there's other places. I'm just trying to talk from personal experience, like you are, that they need help. Do they kick in enough in gas taxes to warrant, you know, more? Because what they're going to try to do, and I don't blame them. Those counties will try to say, we should have an equal chance at getting funding from ALDOT on the new dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Where the big counties, I don't blame them either, will say, hey, this revenue is only getting to y'all because of us, and we should retain a higher amount of it because we have way more traffic, way more, you know, way more vehicles on our roadway.
Yeah. I think a lot of people obviously want their roads to be better. Even if we had, you know, if you ranked the roads condition 7 out of 10 on average, like we had good roads, people would still want better roads. You know, it wouldn't suck to be driving on an awesome road all the time. But as far as how much people want to be taxed, I feel like most Alabamians feel like that money has been mismanaged in the past. And any time, whether it's state or federal government, is asking for more money, you feel like you might get kind of like they might screw you over, for lack of a better word.
Right.
They're going to take that money and not spend it where you expect them to spend it. So with that poll that you showed and most people saying, yeah, I would like better roads, and then seeing how much they're willing to pay and not really willing to pay that much money per gallon, that's because they're scared that Alabama's going to mismanage that money.
Well, okay, and here's one of the texters said, all the proposals are not in our area but up north, et cetera. Well, there's truth and there are projects down here, very much so projects down here. But you're right. Some of the bigger ones are in the Huntsville area and the Birmingham area. And actually, the Birmingham area one they're already working on. So you've got those kind of projects, be they big infrastructure projects where you're trying to alleviate traffic and have a spur and move things around, or just patch. Infrastructure goes from everything like that, from a bridge and tunnels and this and that and the other to, hey, just patch this road so it doesn't knock the fillings out of my teeth as I'm riding down the road.
Yeah.
Those are all infrastructure projects. Who gets the money and how much? That's where the battle royale lays out.
Mm. Yeah, so. There are some scary roads. I know a lot of people are talking about I-10 and I-65, but if you drive around the state, and we could probably ask Jeff Poore about this next time we talk to him on Wednesday, because he's a guy who has driven through every single county over the last couple
of
years.
All 67, yeah.
And there's some scary spots out there that aren't only, you know, bad for the car driving over the potholes and grooves in the road, but some places where, you know, I've driven places where lines disappear in the middle of the road, and you don't, if you're driving at night, you don't know whether you're driving off a cliff towards the end of your death or whether, you know, you're coming over
the
road.
You're talking about the lines disappearing. There's plenty of roads in Washington County don't have lines at all.
Don't have them at all.
You just kind of estimate that this is my half, that's your half, you stay over there, I'll stay right here. All right, let's do this too as we run to the news break. Last chance at winning tickets before you can buy them for Bryan Adams and the Shine a Light Tour coming to the Wharf Amphitheater. Show's coming up Friday, May 10th. Tickets go on sale today at noon. And if you're caller number 6 at 343-0106, 343-0106, got a pair of tickets for you. Tickets go on sale once again today at noon, Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone, 800-745-3000. Your last shot at win them before you can buy them tickets is right now. We are looking for caller number 6, so good luck. We're coming right back. Kane, 851, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings. Phone line, text line, open at 343-0106, because we've finally got everybody cleared off, and we do have a winner here.
Yeah, David in Fairhope, heading to see Bryan Adams at the Wharf, May 10th. The Shine a Light Tour should be a good time. Tickets officially go on sale at noon today, so if you missed out on Win 'em Before You Can Buy 'em week, here at FM Talk 106.5, you can buy them at noon.
That's right. Very good. Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone, 800-745-3000. All right. We got a couple things. Yes, somebody was asking. We've had a couple questions this morning. You're not talking about the Daphne Road Rage story. We have, actually, to the point that, you know, it's run with our news partners at WKRG. I may or may not have been working intently this morning on a remix rap song.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe at some point I'll feel like is up to snuff and I can release it, this record. I think it's pretty good.
It's currently in production right
Pretty
now.
Good, though. The demo, you've heard the demo a couple times.
Yeah.
Pretty
I mean, that's. I think that might be going on the top 10, iTunes, Spotify, uh-huh. Amazon. You've done it with this one.
Yeah, I was working this morning before I started getting ready for the show. I just spent about 35 minutes working on this, so we may debut it at some point. But yeah, it's the video, and you can listen to some of the audio running during our news updates here, but a new video and more charges for the Daphne man at the center of the road rage crime spree on the Eastern Shore. Road rage crime spree. That's a nice, this is Debbie Williams' story from WKRG. Says it's his second arrest this week.
Oh, man.
Riding in the same truck that has starred in many road rage videos on the Eastern Shore, including a new video of an incident 3 weeks ago. You had the initial charge, and you've had a bunch of people now come out and say, well, that same guy did this to me, and they're bringing up videos and all that. And it's in the audio of this. Well, I'll play some of the audio. He's so matter-of-fact of just saying, like, it's road rage, like saying it's Friday.
Get over it.
It's, you know, it's like it's, there's nothing to it. It's road. Of course it's road rage. Here's some of that audio.
My record tell it all.
Wait a
These
second.
Folks messing with me. Probably arrest one person out the whole eight. But they said I'm harassing folks. I'm just not no crazy maniac like type of guy, you know. I'm a good guy. I'm very successful. You see what I'm driving? It's like these people be judging me, then make me do stuff, and then react in a way like I'm threatening them. But they be bringing it. They bring it to my attention. Then when I act like flip them off or whatever. Uh-huh. They act like I'm like it's a big threat. Like
okay, so. He's saying that he's flipping them off. He's telling them they're number one.
And for some reason, they feel like that...
That would be threatening.
Yeah, I can't understand why people would think
Is there
that.
Something that Delwood missed that the rest of us did, that the purpose of giving the person the one-finger salute is to show them that you don't like them, you're not happy with their behavior?
Yeah.
Other than, this is what we're wanting to get into, other than if you know somebody...
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is guy to guy. I've never done this to a woman before, but in my group of friends growing up,
mm-hmm.
and there's probably four or five of us still that see each other with some routine. The one finger salute to the other guy is a sign of endearment.
Right, yes.
We use it to say hello, goodbye, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, in that case, it doesn't carry any other weight.
Yeah, no, I've actually got a funny story about that. So had a family vacation probably 10, 12 years ago. We went down to the beach.
Okay.
And my grandma from Nashville and family from Nashville all came down to the beach, and we had a nice weekend in Gulf Shores. And then they went back to Nashville.
Okay.
So they're riding up 65 and kind of a convoy. They got a few vehicles there because they live in different parts of the state of Tennessee. And my we got a fun family up there in Tennessee.
You do.
And my grandma, she's riding in the passenger seat with my aunt driving, and my uncle has been tailing them the whole way back up to Nashville, and they think he's passing on the right on 65. My grandma does the one finger salute.
Tells him he's number one.
Tells him he's her favorite son, her number one son, and turns out wasn't his car. It was a similar looking car, but
holy
my
cow.
Grandma flips off some random passerby just passing in the lane. And I can only imagine what that person thought looking over and seeing my 75-year-old grandmother giving him the bird.
I was trying to think the oldest person I've ever seen give the bird. That may be it. So but this guy is saying, like, oh, well, this isn't road rage. I'm just harassing him and flipping the bird.
What, crazy.
At what point do we define the road rage? And he just, oh, well, it's just road rage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll have to go. We'll talk more about this on the Midday Show and look at some of these videos. And we could get in that side discussion. And I tell this story, and you get it, but there's a lot of people that look at me and say, have no idea what I'm talking about. But we used to do that, and we still kind of do that. And we're, you know, in our later 40s.
Mm-hmm.
A very small group of us that know what it means. We will give each other the one-finger salute as a greeting, as a greeting of endearment, meaning nothing but, like, what's up, you know, to our buddies.
Oh, I do that all the time still. And but
good. So I'm not the only one. Anybody else out there does now? Not I don't go do that to people I don't know, or but like this small group of friends,
I'd be lying if maybe people will look down on me for this, but there has been one time, you know, I've got a week old baby.
Yes.
And I think it's hilarious when babies do things that that you wouldn't expect a baby to do. And I've taken her hand and I've given I've made it into the one finger salute. That's happened. But I like how this guy, he acknowledges that he has road rage. You know, you ask most people, they don't want to say, yeah, I fell into a fit of road rage. That would be too self-aware.
Right.
That you've entered the road rage experience there.
This is just road rage.
Yeah, it's just road rage. It's common for me. I mean, I'm not going to get out and shoot or stab anybody. It's just road rage.
Now, Billy says on the text line, the best way to Billy, this is the way you're adding extra propellant to this rocket. Billy says the best way to respond to a road rage incident or somebody giving you, I guess, the bird is to kiss back at the rager. Blow him a kiss. Billy, I'm not going to suggest that's a good idea. I'm not the only one. Everybody says the Alabama Howdy. Now, there's something different. Now, I'm driving my truck and I just pass people I don't know,
mm-hmm.
I'll give them the index finger or the whole hand, like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, just when you're driving the country.
Sometimes just a nod works.
Yeah, the nod. But this is different. This is the middle finger pointed upright. And believe me, it's just a very small group of people that they get that and they know who they are out there. So can't wait to see you all over the weekend so I can tell you you're number one. All right, we're out of here. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Be back at noon for Midday Mobile. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. A lot going on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fmtalk1065. And flip me the bird over on Twitter @fmtalk1065.
Yeah, there's an emoji for that, right?
One or two, yes.